Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our assembly. Thank you for being here. I want to take my coat off. It's a warm, cool day. Today I want to talk to you about the confidence of faith. How confident are you about your salvation? We know that we're going to die. And those of us who believe in God know that we're going to face God in judgment. We know that. And judgment implies a decision one way or the other, doesn't it? And if everyone is simply going to be condemned, there's no need for a judgment. It's a foregone conclusion. But a judgment is going to be made by God. And some people are going to be saved. Some people are going to be able to go and be with God and be in heaven. How confident are you that you are one of those people? Let me suggest to you, and this is what I'm going to try to show you today, that if you are truly a person of faith, not just that you believe that there's a God, and not just that you believe that there's going to be a judgment, not just that you believe that there's a heaven or hell, but that you believe in Jesus Christ, and you really believe in the things that we talked about today, that were talked about when we took the elements of the Lord's Supper, if you really believe that, then you should be confident about your salvation. It's going to be one of these sermons where I make my points, then I show you the passages. Confidence of faith. You know, faith in Christ is not just believing that He existed. It's not just believing that He was the Son of God or that He was the Messiah. Faith in Christ is faith in what He can do. And what He can do is save you. Do you believe that Jesus can save you?
Amen.
Yeah. Now you might say, okay, faith in Jesus is faith in His death and resurrection. You believe that He died, but that He didn't just stay dead, that He was raised up from the dead. And you believe that. Well, that's good. That's good that you believe that Jesus died and that He was raised from the dead. But He didn't do that for Himself. Faith in those things, not just faith that they happen. If you just have faith that it happened, that's not enough. You have to believe that it happened for you. And it did happen for you. There's no other reason for it to happen, except to save us. Do you think that it can save you? Then why can't you believe that it has saved you? It should make us confident. Now I know that, you know, there's a lot of exceptions and qualifications that people could cite. But we're going to look at a series of passages that just say what I have just said. That say that we know that we're saved because we believe in Jesus and in what He has done. And it's not confidence in ourselves. It's confidence in Him. Let's begin. With Romans 1 and verse 16, this is a passage we often cite that talks about the gospel as the power of salvation. And it's great passage to make that point. For I'm not ashamed, Paul says, of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, a lot of times when we talk about the gospel, you know, we've kind of been trained to think, well, the gospel is here, believe, repent, be baptized, and you'll be saved. That's the gospel, but that's not the gospel. That is the application of the gospel, but it's not the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose again and offers you eternal life through His death. That's the gospel. And if you believe that gospel, surely you will respond to it, but it's faith in that gospel. And what Jesus did for you, that is the power of God to salvation. What saves me, what saves you, is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That saves you. And if you believe that, it does. To all those who believe, everyone who believes. Now, are you one of those people or not? See, you know, we have this measured idea of faith. I believe in Jesus, I just don't know whether He can save me or not. Well, what exactly do you believe about Jesus? Because what we're told about Jesus, that we're supposed to believe, is that He died for our sins. Well, do you believe that or not? Say, well, I'm a sinner. Okay, I get that. We're all sinners. But do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? And if He did, and you believe that, then why don't you think you're saved? Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, have you been justified by your faith or not? So, well, I don't know, you know. I don't know. Well, what do you think you're believing in? Is it yourself? Is it your own perfection? Is it your own good behavior? What does it mean when it says you're justified by faith? It's in Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's through Him. Are you at peace? If you have peace with God in your heart, I am at peace with God. How can I have peace with God? I know I'm not a very good person. I know I don't always do the right thing. How can I have peace with God when I know I'm not always doing the right thing? How can I have peace with God? Well, it's through Jesus Christ. That's how that happens. Through Christ, through faith in Him. Faith in what He did. You see? Confidence of faith. That's what I'm talking about. Verse 2 of the same chapter, Romans 5 and verse 2. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. What a beautiful passage. Now, we have gained access, right? Do you not know whether you have access or not? I used to be a night watchman, a guard. And I would have to watch a gate. And people would come up to this gate. It was at a hospital. And they had a pass on their car that showed that they were an employee of that hospital. And it was my job. And it was a very complicated job. I had to look and see that pass, and then I had to push a button that raises the gate. And that was it. Access. See, the people who drove up to that gate, they knew they had access because they had the badge. They had that sticker. They had access, and they knew they had access. And if for some reason I was slow about pushing that button, they would point to that. They would point to it. Said right there. If I was looking for it, they'd say it's right there. Let me in. And sometimes they'd get a little heated about it. Do you have access? Well, if you do, it's by faith. You believe it. You claim it. You say, God offers it through His Son Jesus. I believe in it. I believe in what Jesus did. You have access into His grace through that, in which we now stand. Now, that's the question. Now, why would Paul say that? Why wouldn't he say, in which you might stand, or I hope you stand, or maybe you stand, or maybe you will stand? He says, we stand. We're standing. We are in a state of grace. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. You know, I've known a lot of people in my life who were confident, and some of them for good reason, and some of them because they were idiots. And they would boast. And they would say, I can do this, or I know how to do that. And sometimes you knew they didn't have a clue what they were talking about. And so that's the fear that we have, you know, the fear that, well, you know, I can't be that confident. I can't boast. I can't really feel it. I can't, you know, I've got to just always be worrying and doubting about it. But then, you know, I've known some other people who were confident, and they had every reason to be confident because they had done it over and over and over again, and you knew that they could do it. You knew that they could do it. And you'd say, can you do that? Yeah, I can do that. No uncertainty, no doubt. I can fix that. I can make that right. Done it a million times. I can do that. And there are people like that in our life that we count on. People that we trust. Because we know that their confidence is not misplaced. And my confidence is in Jesus Christ. In His death and resurrection. In that I boast. I boast. Yeah. I got that. Because He's got me. Ephesians 3, 11 and 12. Paul says, this was according to the eternal purpose that He has realized in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Him. Now, you can't get any clearer than that, can you? That just lays it out there. Just tells you right to your face. What does Paul say? The eternal purpose that He has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, here God has planned this method of our salvation. He has planned it from before the beginning of the world. He has planned it, and He has planned it, and He has planned it, and He has executed it in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to stand here and say, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if He's got this. In my case, he may not have it. He may not be on top of it. You think so? Think there's something God overlooked? See, to me, it's a question of faith. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence. Well, that question I asked you at the beginning, does that sound like somebody that has a lot of questions in their mind? Now, do you think that the people at the church in Ephesus were any more perfect in their application and living of the Christian life than you or I are? You think they were perfect? I know they weren't. You think they had their struggles and ups and downs? I know they did. But Paul says, we have boldness. We have access. We have confidence through our faith in Him. And again, it's not faith in ourselves, it's faith in Him. I believe He can do it. I know He can do it. He has done it. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, it's just really a question of whether or not you have faith in the ability of God to shield you and take care of you. There are things that we have confidence in, don't we? Things that will protect us. And sometimes that confidence may be a little misplaced. Sometimes we're overconfident in the things that we think that are going to protect us. But there's no way that you can ever be overconfident about God and His ability to protect you. He can. He can shield you. How do I know that? Because God Himself took on human form and came in this life and lived a life, a hard life, to tell me that He cares about me, and died a cruel death to secure my salvation and protect me from my own sin, to deliver me from my own sin. I believe in that power of God, God's power to shield me until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed. And the Bible talks about it that way, you know. A lot of times you go someplace and they're not ready. Not ready for you. Didn't think you would come this soon, or we forgot you were showing up, or you know, you have to wait. Not ready. Let me tell you something. The salvation of which I speak is ready. Is ready to go. And it's not there by accident, and it's not there for no purpose. Ready. Believe in it. Have confidence in it. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. For this reason, Paul says, I also suffer these things. Why do you suppose Paul would do that? Why would Paul suffer? Paul did suffer. He suffered a great deal. As Jacob talked about in that passage, you know, the thorn of flesh, he suffered. Why did he do that? Well, Paul says, I've got a good reason for that. I am not ashamed. Doesn't make me feel sad. Doesn't make me doubt. Doesn't make me feel like maybe it's all not worthwhile. I'm not ashamed of my suffering. Mm-mm. For I know whom I have believed. And I am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day. I know whom I have believed. Now, once again, we have to think of it that way. Where is our confidence placed? I know whom I have believed. I know that. I know it. And I'm convinced. You ever been convinced of something? Well, sure you have. There's been lots of situations in your life where I just know. I'm convinced. And you might be wrong. It's possible to be wrong. And sometimes we are, and sometimes our convictions are misplaced. But not in this case. Why was Paul so willing to suffer for Jesus Christ? Because he knew. He knew. He had seen over and over and over again the evidence. And he talks about it, and he writes about it, and he testifies to us about why he is so confident. I know whom I have believed. Now the question is, do you know whom you have believed in? Do you have the conviction that Paul has that he's able to guard what you've entrusted to him until that day? Well then live that way and feel that way. Live with energy. Live with confidence. Live with hope and joy and expectation. And let it be infused in your life. Instead of going about your life going, oh man, man, just think, I know who I have believed in. And he has it. And it's ready to go. And I'm ready to go. I'm excited about it. Are you excited about it? Yes! Confidence. That's what we're talking about. Hebrews 3 and verse 6. There's several passages in Hebrews that talks about confidence. Confidence of faith. Hebrews 3, 6. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house, and we are His house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. Well, you know, hope, glorying in that hope, confidence about that, that's what we're talking about. Now, that's what He says. We are His house. We're the house of God. as Christians, as people who have believed and confessed and been baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, we are His house. And as people in His house, this is what we are to have. Confidence, hope, glory. Firmly hold on to that. Don't be robbed of your confidence. Hebrew writer goes on to talk about that. Hebrews 4:14, therefore, since we a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. See, my access to heaven is not through me, it is through Him. He has gone up into heaven itself and to the very throne of God, and He has offered His own blood for me. And it is through Him that I have access. That's where my confidence lies. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Verse 16, he goes on to say, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. How can I approach the throne of God? How can we pray as we've prayed today? How can we sing as we have sung today? How can we pour out our heart to God, firm in the confidence and knowledge that these words and these thoughts and these expressions of devotion come up before God Himself and are received? Because Jesus is right there. And through Him, we have access. And we should be confident of that. Chapter 10, verses 19. And it goes on to say in verse 22, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, and that's how we can. Talked about that this morning. He goes on to say in verse 22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. Do you have confidence to enter the holy place? The holy place of God itself. Well, it should be. You should have that through the blood of Jesus. And the way that you can draw near to God with a sincere heart, with no doubt, with no timidity, no fear, is because you have full assurance of faith. You believe. You believe what Jesus did. You believe in His blood. And you can approach God through that faith. That's confidence of faith we're talking about. Hebrews 10, 35 and 39. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. But we are not of those, he goes on to say in verse 39, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and persevere or preserve the soul. Preserve their souls. Our faith is the thing that keeps us connected to that which saves us, Jesus Christ. And our faith is in Him, therefore our confidence is in Him, and we should not throw that away. We should not give it up. We should not surrender our confidence, but hold on to it because it is in Jesus and our faith is in Him. Do not throw away your confidence by having faith to the preservation of your soul. That's what you need. 1 John 3:21 through 22. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him. Now here's where this doubt starts to come in. Do I really keep God's commands? Maybe there's some commands I don't keep. Maybe I should do better at keeping God's commands. But what do you think John is talking about here? Is he trying to encourage you to have confidence, or is he trying to place doubts in your mind? Which one of those two things is John trying to do? Well, obviously, he's trying to give you confidence. For those of us who are in Christ, our hearts do not condemn us. Now, this part here, because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him. What do you think that really means? You think that really means that I do everything exactly right, don't ever make any mistakes? You can't find me making a mistake. Oh, no, sir, because I do everything right and I don't make any mistakes, and that's why I know that God forgives me. Well, if you don't make any mistakes, then you don't need forgiveness for anything, do you? But that's not what John is saying. All you have to do is read the very next verse. And this is the command: to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. You see, our faith, our conviction, is not just that Jesus did something. Our faith is not that we have done something. Our faith is that what He did can save us, in spite of the fact that we're not always that great. Because our faith is in Him. Our faith is in the Son, Jesus Christ. I think this is the last verse. I write these things to you, he says in 1 John 5:13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And so that's it right there. John doesn't write to everybody, the people who don't believe, people who reject Christ. He's writing to us, those of us who believe. And he says, I'm writing to you who believe. And do you believe? That's the question. Do you believe? He's writing to you. And he's writing to you to tell you that you can know that you have eternal life. Do you? Do you believe in the name of the Son of God? You have eternal life. Verse 14, 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. This is the confidence. In conclusion, brethren, I have to ask you again, do you believe in Christ? Well, what exactly do you believe about Christ? Okay? If you really believe in Him, then you believe in what He did and what that's capable of doing. And what it's capable of doing is saving your soul. Have you acted on that faith by obeying the gospel? Now, faith is not just thinking something in your head. Faith is embracing, accepting, and obeying, and reaching out to God and saying, yes, I want that. I want what you are offering to me, God. Please give me forgiveness in Jesus Christ because I believe in it. And you know what it takes to do that. To confess your faith and to take on the name of Jesus Christ in baptism. And when you do that, the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to you and you are saved. Are you living that faith? I didn't say perfectly. Are you living the faith? Are you praying to God? Are you worshiping God? Are you trying to do the right thing? Are you doing all those things? That's just faith. That's all that is. It's faith. It's a life of faith. And it's faith not in ourselves, but in Jesus Christ. I don't worship because I think I can reach some level of worship, that I've got perfect worship, and that perfect worship punches my ticket into heaven. That's not why I worship. I worship because I have faith in Christ. I don't do good because if I just can do just enough good, I can get into heaven. I do good because I have faith in Christ. Well, if those things are true for you, then let me tell you something. You should have some confidence, brother and sister. Didn't have enough room. Have confidence. Have the confidence of faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. And if you don't have that confidence because you've not obeyed the gospel and have not declared your faith, then make your faith real today. Come to Christ. Obey the gospel. He will save you. I'm confident of that. Why don't you show your confidence of that? Have the confidence of faith. And if you're a brother or sister who's strayed from the faith and you need to make that right in a public way, you can do that. But just know that what makes you right is your faith in Christ. And if the faith that you have in Christ prompts you to do that, then do that. And have confidence. There's no need for you to leave here with anything other than absolute confidence in your own salvation. And if I can help you with that in any way, please come forward and say so as we stand and sing.